أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. صدق الله العظيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. یہ حضرت والا حضرت مولانا حکیم محمد اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ رحمۃ واسعۃ ان کی لکھی ہوئی نظم ہے, ان کے لکھے ہوئے اشعار ہیں. جلسہ قرب محبت, محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے, زباں خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے. کبھی ایسا ہوا ہے from my own experience when Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayhi used to come to South Africa. Sometimes we used to go to Azadville and Hazrat Wala, we used to spend a little time with Hazrat Wala. It used to happen here in Mona Mufti Hussain Bayat's house also. Sometimes Hazrat wouldn't speak one word, just quiet and everybody is sitting there. Us waqt Hazrat humare dilon ke upar kya kaifiyat guzarti thi, what peace, and we can't even explain that feeling that we used to experience in our hearts. اور آپ حضرات یہ نہ سمجھے کہ ہمارے حضرت بھی کچھ کم ہیں. الحمدللہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے ہمیں بہت ہی بہترین اور بہت ہی اونچے درجے کے شیخ اللہ تعالیٰ has given us. We must make قدر of our حضرت. Our حضرت is a زاہد from birth. Nothing, no تعلق with the دنیا whatsoever. حضرت مولانا عبد الحمید صاحب دامت برکاتہ. زاہد means a person who is completely disinclined from the دنیا. That's why people have got natural love for حضرت والا. Because رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم one صحابی asked رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, یا رسول اللہ, کون سا ایسا عمل ہے which I must do so that people, you, Allah can love me and people can love me. He said, become a zahid in the dunya, have no interest in the dunya, Allah will love you. Yeah. And whatever people have got in their hands, whatever they possess, become a zahid in those things, have no inclination to those things, and Allah and people will love you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or, so, yeah, Allah Ta'ala hame Hazrat Wala ki qadardani ki tawfiq ata farmaye, aur Hazrat Wala ka saaya hamare upar ta der qaim rakhe. تو حضر والا says محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے in the love of Allah sometimes such time some period passes where the tongue doesn't say nothing but دل روتا رہتا ہے the heart carries on crying inside اگرچہ راہ تقویٰ میں ہزاروں غم بھی آتے ہیں مگر جو عاشق صادق ہے غم کو سہتا رہتا ہے in this way of taqwa, lots of gham, lots of difficulties, lot of tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also come. But that person who is a real ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he carries on bearing all these difficulties with patient endurance, with endurance and with patience. Phir Hazrat ne farmaya ke sila ishq majazi ka ye kaisa hai are toba. Tas ishq majazi, which is all a deception. People get infatuated with girls, and girls get infatuated with men. People are sitting on the computer and then they are talking to one another over the computer, over the PC, over the internet, that I am so and so, I am so, oh, I'm my, this is my age, I'm still a single, I'm single. That one right there from that side is single. And then when the time comes, when they meet, the two of them meet with one another, then they find out, do he che. And I don't do ho che. Khalas thing, eh? So before anything starts after that, gone. So sila ishq majazi, sila ishq, that's called ishq majazi. Ishq hakiki is the one, the love that you have for Allah. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes you jazab, pulls you towards him. So in this ishq majazi, kya hota hai? There is so much disloyalty from both sides. Ke aashik to, he stays awake the whole night wishing that maashuk can come, but maashuk is sleeping. It can be both sides. Oh, maashuk is ghaib. Khataon ki agar aayi hai daman par zara siyahi, a person makes a little bit guna also. So what happens when a person got ishq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ishq carries on washing away the sin. گناہگاروں کو مت تحقیر کر اے زاہد نادان او زاہد نادان او the one who is so pious a Sufi making عبادت of Allah سبحانہ وتعالی لیکن بیچارہ نادان got no صحبت of the بزرگان دین no. There are a lot of زاہد you find in the world but you get also no صحبت خشک صوفی تو کہتے ہیں کہ when they know you zahid na zahid na then when you see somebody making gunas and sins don't have a low regard for him کہ ان کی آہ و زاری پر فلک بھی روتا رہتا ہے that person is so regretful and so sorry for the things that he do that he did wrong that even the heavens they cry بے فیض مرشد کامل جو درد دل ہوا حاصل and through the barakat of our shaykh and our murshid kamil whatever we are given the dard of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to dil pe jalse qurb muhabbat hota rehta then every now and again a person feels I'm going nearer to Allah and that feeling is so beautiful that Allah is with me, I'm with Allah, Allah loves me, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves us. Ah, Allah loves us, wallahi. If Allah didn't love us, me and you would not be sitting here. جو غیروں پر فدا کرتا ہے اپنے قلب و جا اختر anybody who sacrifices himself, his قلب and his جان, his heart and everything of his, he sacrifices it for anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala تو بجرم بے وفائی حق سے وہ محروم رہتا ہے then because of the fact that he was disloyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he made nichawar his and he sacrificed his life for something else or somebody else then what happens he is deprived of all the good things of marifat of Allah of jazb with Allah of muhabbat with Allah the dard that he is supposed to get and nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala اب میں اس کو پیش کرتا ہوں آپ لوگوں کے سامنے انشاءاللہ بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے मोहब्बत में कभी ऐसा ज़माना भी गुजरता है, ज़ुबां खामोश रहती है मगर दिल रोता रहता है। अगर चेहरा है तक़वा में हजारों गम भी आते हैं, अगर चेहरा है तक़वा में हजारों गम भी आते हैं, मगर जो आशिक़ सादिक है गम को सहता रहता है। सिला इश्क़ मजाजी का ये कैसा है अरे तौबा, सिला इश्क़ मजाजी का ये कैसा है अरे तौबा, के आशिक रोते रहते हैं सनम खुद सोता रहता है। खताओं की अगर आई है दामन पर जरा स्याही, तो अपने आंसुओं से इश्क उसको धोता रहता है। मोहब्बत में कभी ऐसा ज़माना भी गुजरता है, ज़ुबां खामोश रहती है मगर दिल रोता रहता है। गुनहगारों की मत तहकीर कर ए ज़ाहिद नादान, गुनहगारों की मत तहकीर कर ए ज़ाहिद नादान, के इनकी के उनकी आहुज़ारी पर फलक भी रोता रहता है, के उनकी आहुज़ारी पर फलक भी रोता रहता है। बफ़ैज़े मुर्शिदे कामिल जो दर्दे दिल हुआ हासिल, बफ़ैज़े मुर्शिदे कामिल जो दर्दे दिल हुआ हासिल, तो दिल पर जलसा ए क़ुर्बे मोहब्बत होता रहता है। जो गैरों पर फिदा करता है अपने कल्ब जा अख्तर, जो गैरों पर फिदा करता है अपने कल्ब जा अख्तर, बजुर्मे बेवफाई हक से वो महरूम रहता है, बजुर्मे बेवफाई हक से वो महरूम रहता है। मोहब्बत में कभी ऐसा ज़माना भी गुजरता है, सिला इश्क़ मजाजी का ये कैसा है अरे तौबा।
दिस कपलेट रियली फैसिनेट्स मी बिकॉज़ हज़रत वाला रहमतुल्लाह अलैहि यूज़्ड टू से, वो जो गैरुल्लाह पर और जो है क्या है वो द पर्सन हु इम्पोर्ट्स हराम लज़्ज़त बाय लुकिंग एट रॉन्ग थिंग्स एंड लुकिंग एट थिंग्स दैट द वुमन दैट ही इज नॉट सपोज टू सी, तो उससे ज्यादा इंटरनेशनल गदा कोई नहीं है। दिस एग्जैक्टली इज द सेम, इट्स जस्ट इन अशआर एग्जैक्टली अज़र इज सेइंग द सेम थिंग, हाउ स्टूपिड ही इज एंड हाउ व्हाट अ सिली पर्सन ही इज दैट यू नो ही goes into the aeroplane and he looks at that woman there, the air hostess. And when the journey is finished, wo to apna jo hai na, she turns around and she goes her way, and this person here, like a bewakoof, is sitting, he's there, he's left alone. So this is exactly what Hazrat says in this ashar.
Sila ishq-e majazi ka ye kaisa hai are toba ke aashiq rote rehte hain sanam khud sota rehta hai mohabbat mein kabhi aisa zamana bhi guzarta hai zuba khamosh rehti hai magar dil rota rehta hai.
Jazakallah.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدمه ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل حول من الأحوال مقتحمي يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إن ربي غفور رحيم صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our Sheikh, some sunnat we should discuss. We will present today some adab. Adab of making salam. The sunnat of making salam, alhamdulillah, we did discuss many times, and that is very, very important that we should get into the habit of making salam. And it comes in the hadith sharif, afshaw salam bainakum. Spread the salam. And this ifsha, to understand it, the same word is used for ifsha is sir. To spread a secret, which we are prohibited from. Don't spread the people's secrets. Anyone did something wrong, etc., then don't go in immediately today, WhatsApp, social media, put it on. No, that we should not do. We should conceal the faults of somebody. But how? I usually say faster than internet and faster than the TV and faster than all social media. If you want a secret to spread, just tell somebody, and especially a woman, and tell her that this is a secret, it's between me and you, don't tell anybody, and see how it spreads. That is just to give us an understanding how a secret spreads. Like that, we were supposed to spread salam like that. But salam, we don't spread like that. We spread the secrets and, of people, etc., which we shouldn't do. If you want to spread a secret like that, you just tell a woman, or tele woman, make a telephone. Just tele woman and see how that secret spreads. But what it should spread should be salam. Anyway, that was one thing. A few adab about salam. There are three stages of salam. One is a verbal salam, assalamu alaikum, and we should try and make it, also see the occasion, the complete wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, otherwise only assalamu alaikum. And the answer, according to the salam that was made, the answer should be according to that. If the salam was only assalamu alaikum, you can give the whole reply. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, you permit it. But if the person made the whole salam, you must reply the whole salam also. Then return it as he made salam to you. The second stage and level of salam is to make musafa, to shake hands. And the third level and stage of salam is to make mu'anaqa, to embrace one another. So normally, daily we meet one another. Like in the house, we should make salam common. So we come from the bedroom to the kitchen, the wife is there, make salam. If you meet in the lounge, make salam. Wife comes to the, make salam common. Now that salam is just a verbal salam. Don't go and give hands also. Okay? And you don't say wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are permit, but then you're going to inconvenience the person. Just assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. You're leaving the house, then full salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh also. So that is important. Also, if a few adab that are coming to mind, two people are talking, we are walking out, two people are talking, we passing them. They engage in a conversation, don't make salam there. Now you're going to make salam, they are busy in their conversation. It's wajib for them to reply to you. Now you're upsetting their conversation. Somebody is reading the notice board and you are passing. Now he's engrossed in reading whatever he's reading and you make salam to him. Somebody is busy on the phone, you are passing him. Now you're making salam. The person on the other side, suddenly in between, wa alaikum assalam. You are talking, having a discussion in between, wa alaikum assalam, what's happening here? So we should see the occasion. We should make salam, but see the occasion. And then the second level of shaking hands. That is even more we should be particular about. We were in the Islahi Jalsa in Karachi, and Hazrat Mufti Rafi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, also gave a talk, and he explained about this year. He says people don't see the occasion. At any time, they just give their hands. Somebody is walking, in fact, just now lately it happened that one person was, people were having tea, and he was pouring the tea from the tea jug, in his hand, full hot tea jug, and on the other hand he had the plate, the cup and saucer in his hand, and he's pouring. Yeah, one person came in between all that, assalamu alaikum. Now how must he make salam there? He's busy. So we should see the occasion. Mufti Rafi Usmani Saab says a person is carrying parcels, he's getting off the bus or he's getting on the bus, now you may giving your hands, assalamu alaikum. Even if he's departing at that time, that's not the occasion to make that salam. We should see the occasion. That is, adab are very, very important, all that, everywhere. So we should see that occasion. When do we give our hands? And hands you give to a person if you meet him after a time, some time. Daily you meet one another, just make verbal salam. But many of us got the habit, whenever we see somebody, then we want to shake hands also. On a daily basis, you're meeting one another, you don't shake hands there. If it's after some time you met somebody, then you shake hands with the person also. And that also see if it is an occasion to shake hands. Then the third is mu'anaqa, to embrace a person. And the word musafaha also. Once Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was visiting us. He was at the Darunum. He was giving a talk in the masjid. And after the talk, we were having some discussion, so I asked Hazrat, how do you make musafaha? So he told me, give me your hands. He took my hands like this, and he put his hands like this inside. He said, this is how. Musafaha is from safhatun. This part, the palm. The two palms must meet. Now usually we clasp the hand, and some of us go to the other extreme also, we press the thumb here. This has come, according to what ulama have written, from that Khizr alayhi salam, Khazir, he hasn't got the thumb bone, and he's mustajabu da'wat. So this is a test. They test, especially you make what buzurg, that has he got this thumb bone or not. If he hasn't got it, he's Khizr alayhi salam. I'll ask him to make dua for me. That dua is readily accepted. So don't do that. Just put your hands to in one another's hands. That is what is musafaha. Mu'anaka comes from the word onok, the neck. The necks must meet. But normally what we make is mubatana, the stomachs meet. It's not just greeting, it's not that the stomachs must meet. Or we make musadara, the chest meet one another. Even the women have a problem when they meet with one another. And they just grab one another. And this also, just now, lately it happened. And some people make salam so fast, this side, that side. And my specs flew one side. And he's not worried, he made his mu'anaka. I had to go and look for my specs, take them, put them on again. But just wildly, this side, you don't know. And he wants to put the right side, you putting the left side. All a mix up there. That is not the method of doing, that is not the adab. We should do it. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, make right to right side. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like the right side in doing everything. And mu'anaka is one, not three times. Many of us, we do three sides. And we do so fast, just a formality. And many of us, what will we call that, Maulana? They just let the cheeks meet. And a kiss on the cheek also. So that also some people do. No, mu'anaka is one time you let the neck meet to the neck. The people of Peshawar normally, they do this properly. Like a little bend forward. Don't go into a ruku or something. But that your bodies don't meet. Just let your necks meet. But we meet such a way that the whole body also meets. So the body shouldn't meet, just the neck should meet. And the reason for that is a nerve runs there, which is the nerve that conveys love. And if there's two nerves meet, love will come between the two brothers. So that is what is required. So this is also one very important aspect. There is much more detail which is being written in the Kitabul of Adab, Adabul Mu'asharat. But many of us make big mistakes with regard to this also. In our opinion, we are making lot of muhabbat and we are being very pious, etc. But we are missing the boat. We should do everything, see the occasion, and do things accordingly, and do what the adab. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. The ayat of the Quran Sharif I have recited, Allah Ta'ala says, quotes the words of Yusuf alayhi salam. Surah Yusuf, and the words of Yusuf alayhi salam. What a great man, who Allah put him through such a test and tried, such a beautiful woman. And of such high standing. Here also one interesting point, one alim says, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, Zulikha was beautiful also. She was a woman of high standing also. Social position, social popularity she had. And she was a wealthy woman, the king, the wife of the minister. She was a wealthy woman. In the Hadith it comes that Tunkahul Mar'atu li'arba'in. That normally, generally, the system of the world is that people get married to women for one or more or four reasons. The one is limaliha, because of her wealth. That is, this Maulana says, that is Yahudiyat. Jews, they look at money. So if your foundation of your nikah is on wealth, you are going towards Yahudiyat. You are going in that direction. And your children are going in that direction. And all the jal things that are going to come from the Yahudis, all this will come into your lives, it will come into your home. So don't look at wealth when you get married. The second is Wale Maaliha. Wale Jamaliha. Jamaliha. For her beauty. That is the way of the Christians. Christians look for beauty. And today, unfortunately, almost every boy, every girl, when he gets married, not the boy and girl, the parents of the boy and girl, they all look at beauty, that she must be beautiful. That is the way of the Christians. If you're going to go that, you are now going, you are starting to move in that direction. What will happen in your way, in your family? What will happen with your children if you are starting to move, if you made that the foundation of your nikah? And the third thing that wali hasabiha, that is Majusi, Hindu people, they look at family. They look at pedigree in the family. If you look at that, you are going now towards Hinduism. You're towards Majusiyat if you are doing that. And walidiniha for hadin. Now you are going towards Islam. Now you are going towards the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If you, that is your foundation of your marriage is going in that direction, your children are going to go in that direction. So anyway, Zulikha had beauty also. She had a position also. And she had wealth also. Everything was in her. What a woman. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, who was on Fitrat al-Salim, on the straight path, he was looking at deen. With deen, it's alright. Without deen, everything is... And also, if you look for deen, Allah will give you beauty also. And that will come as a byproduct, not when you make it your object. Allah will give you pedigree and hasab also. And Allah tabaraka ta'ala will give you wealth also. You can be poor, she can be poor, but Allah will give barakat in your life. And you will be surprised yourself what and what Allah gives you if you make your niyat deen. But unfortunately, whether it is ulama or alimas, we don't look for deen. We look for beauty today. That is what we look. Then if we look, we might look for wealth also. Then family today, nobody is really very worried. There was a time when we were small that a person of one gam wouldn't marry a person of another gam. But today people marry throughout the world, any nationality. And now with the internet, as Maulana Rafiq Saab was saying, on the internet with anyone in the world you make a connection, whoever it is. So we are in that way, we are going in the wrong direction totally. Look at deen, that is important. So anyway, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, such a great Nabi of Allah. And Allah reward Mufassireen. They have proven from Quran clearly that he did not have one bit of inclination towards Zulikha. No. So pure, so clean, not one bit of inclination at any stage did he have towards Zulikha. And he, now a person of that level, says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I don't say my nafs is pure and clean. I don't make bara'at and I don't express the innocence of my nafs. I haven't got a holier than thou attitude that I'm very pak and I'm very pious and very clean. And this is a quality which Allah loves very greatly. The minute a person has little bit of pride in any direction because of his piety, because of his wealth, because of his popularity, because of whatever else it can be, Allah dislikes that. But when a person all the time fears himself, Allah loves that very greatly. And a person who fears himself, he will look for protection. And if we have little bit reality of life, of deen, our protection is only from Allah Ta'ala. Then he will go to Allah, وَمَا أُبَرِّيُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ. Nafs is such a thing. Ammaratum bisu. Our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair Rahimahumullah used to say the word Ammara is used. This is from Amara, to command. Like we Amar bil Ma'ruf, Amar is a command. But Ammara is the superlative case. That is in great excessiveness, in a huge amount. So nafs nature is continuously, it will tell you to do evil. It won't just, in fact, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanwi, Rahmatullah Ali, says that how do we know when the temptation of guna, is it from shaitan or is it from nafs? He says the way to understand whether it is from shaitan or whether it is from nafs, if that temptation, that thought came one and it's gone, that's from shaitan. Shaitan's work is like that. Shaitan hasn't got time to waste with every one person. One person told shaitan that why are you causing all this havoc on earth, all this murders, wars, killings, and all rapes and robberies, all that? He said, well, I don't do all that. He said, you don't do it. You are the one who do this. He says, no, I don't do that. All I do, for example, is I put a drop of syrup on the wall and I carry on. Seeing the syrup, a fly comes for the syrup to drink, to suck on it, it enjoys it. Seeing the fly, a lizard comes to eat the fly. So now the lizard comes. Seeing the lizard, the cat comes for the lizard. The cat wants to eat the lizard, that is its rosy. Seeing the cat, the dog comes for the cat. and the dog and cat fight is famous always. And seeing that, the neighbor's dog comes and the two dogs start fighting. Because of the cat, the two dogs start fighting. The two dogs fight, the two neighbors start fighting. Janwar was fighting, and now Ashraful Makhlukat start fighting. Because of the dogs, the two neighbors' dogs are fighting. In the heat of the argument and the fight, a firearm comes out. The trigger is pulled, one man is lying dead. That family there, the breadwinner is dead now. Now they haven't got food in the house. Now all the trouble of poverty, and poverty breeds lot of other evils also. The girls start selling themselves, the women start selling themselves, they become delinquents, etc. There's no head in the family, nobody to guide them. That family is destroyed. Court cases take place, this person is given the death sentence, or he's put in jail for 10, 20 years. This family is without a breadwinner. All because of a drop of syrup. And all the evils that are much more than what I have mentioned, all because of a drop. So that is how Shaitan works. He'll tell you, look at this woman. You just look once, and that love of that woman comes in your heart. And now you are destroyed. If you don't control yourself and you don't make immediately, mashallah, some of our brothers, just today one brother wrote that the attractive woman, and I've seen her, and my mind, I'm gone out of my mind. This happens, these temptations are there. So Shaitan will just put that one temptation, one look at a woman, and it will lead you. So that is from Shaitan. And if we have contact, we got a share, you got a doctor spiritual, and you are genuine, you want to make your Islam, then you want to protect yourself. If you are not genuine, hey, forget Sheikh now, man. There is a ready-made opportunity I got here to engage with this woman. But you are concerned, really, and you became bad for the sake of Islam and to protect yourself. And mashallah, those brothers are here. Immediately they make contact. And just you make contact, the reply is, whether your letter, your email is so fast, whether it has reached, your sheikh has read it or not, yeah, the real Muslim is Allah Rabbul Izzat. It's not the sheikh. The sheikh is an outward means which Allah has used, but it is Allah. The minute you do that, Allah will give you tawfiq. Your heart will get cleaned. And that fire of love, lust which had overtaken your heart, it will go away. And if you get the reply of the Shaykh, Nurun ala Nur, even more better. But yeah, Allah Ta'ala, He does it. When you are sincere, you just wrote your letter, you made a phone call, the phone didn't go through, engage, but no reply, whatever it might be. But still, Allah will do it. So this is that when the temptations come, then a person must immediately, if he's sincere, at that time he makes contact with his Shaykh, and see, if you just have to think little while, this what then, what could have happened? Like one muraqabah we should try and make regularly at night when we go to sleep, whenever. That Alhamdulillah alladhi aqalana yawmana in the day, laylana at night, laylatana hadha walam yuhlikna bi dhunubina, and Allah has kept us alive. Hey, as one of our friends said very beautifully, when you read the morning dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana, very nice translation he made, that, oh Allah, you gave me one more day lease to love. Like you got a business and your lease has expired. And your boss comes, he says, another 10 years lease, half the price. Now, how much rental you are paying don't happen in dunya. But Allah is giving you lease another one day. And walam yuhlikna bi dhunubina, that because of our gunas, Allah didn't destroy us. Because we weren't paying our rental, who is that landlord who will say, now I'm giving you another lease 24 hours. You didn't pay me the previous rent, but no problem. And today I'll still give you a better car, I'll give you better food, I'll give you everything better. Allah gave you another lease. And you didn't apply for the lease. Allah just gave you the lease another one day. Whole life today, there are those of us sitting here 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. How much lease Allah gave us. So make shukr to Allah. And he brought us safely here till where we are. Otherwise, in our lives, And we know, then at that time say to Allah, what then, what has not happened to how many people? And we know in our circles, family, community, the world, what then, what hasn't happened to people? But Allah brought us safely. Then for that particular day that has passed, the night that has passed, what then, what couldn't happen in that day? What then, what couldn't happen at that night? At this moment now when you are saying, Ya Allah, it's only your meherbani. And then say, Allah, may aapka be-intiha mamnoon, mashkoor. I'm so thankful to you. I appreciate your ni'mat so much that in spite of me not being worthy, forget not being worthy, so sinful I am. But yet you are so kind. In this way your love for Allah will increase. Your ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala will increase. So anyway, temptations are there all the time. And shaitan puts these temptations. So shaitan's work, he hasn't got time to work on one person all the time. He just puts that one drop of syrup, or just that one glance at that woman, or yes, somebody who has just made a phone call, or has come to you, and I've got a container, and I'm selling it to you at 10% of the price. Bagged or stolen goods. And there your temptation comes, that there's an opportunity. I'll buy it at 10%, I'll sell it at 500%. What a profit I will make. A lot of other things like that. Continuously these things happen. So that is shaitan's work. And when one, the thought of a guna comes continuously, all the time, you try and get rid of it, still it comes. That is from nafs. And nafs is with you all the time. And nafs is not amara bisu, amara bisu. It doesn't just command you. We are commanded to do amar bil ma'ruf. And shaitan's work is amara bisu. That continuously command, do this guna, do that guna, do that guna. Now look at TV, now your porn, now you take out this, take out your phone. Where and where? You in atikaf, he makes you take out the porn. You in the haram of Makkah, he makes you make ghibat in front of Hajar-e-Aswad. In front of the Kaaba, what and what gunas, right in the haram of Medina, near Rauza and Mubarak, what and what doesn't shaitan and nafs let you do? So nafs is, shaitan gives you a command once, he carries on, and he lets you now carry on in planning and doing your thing. And nafs is continuously, ammara bisu. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also used to say so beautifully, bisu, bisu, bar wasn't bichu. Bichu, scorpion. Scorpion, that it, all the time, it stings you, bites you, puts poison in you. Hassan Zunnun Misri, Rahmatullah Ali, was sitting at the river Nile. There was a scorpion that was going in the water and getting drowned. So he catches it, saves it, and the scorpion bites him. So again, he leaves it, the scorpion goes again, many times. So his khadim told him, Hazrat, that when you are trying to do good to the scorpion, you are saving it, mustn't get drowned, and it's biting you, and then you still carry on saving it. So he says, I've learned the lesson from the scorpion, the lesson of being persistent. The scorpion is persistent in doing wrong, biting me all the time, harming. Why must I give up my habit of doing good? I must be persistent in doing good. So learn not the bad habit of the scorpion, but it insists and persists in doing evil all the time. So you persist in doing good all the time. So nafs is that all the time it will tell you to do evil. It won't leave you all the time, but nothing to worry about. Such enemies, nafs and shaitan, are there, but Allah gave us our protection also. And protection is not one place I had to go to. There was a robbery break-in over the weekend or something. They were busy putting fixing up all the security and all that. So Allah put a sentence on my tongue. I said the crooks are always one step ahead of our security. They are more ahead of our technology. No matter what technology we put in place, crime hasn't gone down. In the world, what are not there? Cameras there are, surveillance there is, security personnel there are, 24-hour, there are people on security, but crime is just going up all the time. It's not coming down. So it is there. then that fails. But if you use Allah's security from the worst enemies of nafs and shaitan, 100% Allah will protect you. Still, they will try. Their temptations, their efforts will be there. But Allah will protect you. Necessity is we must make on it and learn a lesson from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. How he protected himself, that is the lesson. So these are two enemies of ours. Nafs is the inside enemy. Shaitan is the outside enemy. And of the two, the more dangerous, the bigger enemy is nafs. Who made shaitan go astray? When Allah Ta'ala told him that he must make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he made all his excuses, ana khayru minhu, whatever all the other things that he said. But who made him say that? No other shaitan came. There was no other shaitan. There was no shaitan at that time. He was also at that time. He was Azazil. He was a farishta. And he was making all his ibadat, etc. But his nafs. And for who did nafs lead astray? For Azazil, who at that time, there wasn't a span of ground on the whole earth where he did not make sajda. He knew the minutest details, the fine print, what we will say, of the shariats of every Nabi. And he had such marifat of Allah, even marifat he had of Allah, that he knew when Allah was so angry on him, that Allah's anger doesn't rule Allah. Allah is free, what we call according to Arabic grammar, of infial, that you are controlled, like a person in love, whatever he says, so many things to his wife at night. And in the morning when she asked him, you promised me a Mercedes, you promised me this, you promised me Umrah. So what he says, kalam. The talk of the night, the day shines and it rubs out all that. That was bedroom talk. That was there at that time. Now that talk, it doesn't exist. So this is how a person is. So anyway, so what was I saying? Nafs took shaitan astray. There was no other. And no, infial I was talking of Allah Ta'ala's quality. That Allah is not overpowered by any of his qualities also. That in love, Allah forgets, and just in love Allah did something. And he forgets himself. Or in anger. That anger overtakes Allah. Like when we become angry, you love your wife, you love your children so much. But sometimes in your anger you forget yourself. And you do those things which you regret your whole life. Hey, and you are so sorry yourself. Everyone knows that this person, he was such, he wouldn't harm a fly. How did he do this? Your anger overtook you. So shaitan knew Allah so well, which we haven't got a thought of this subject also. But shaitan knew that anger doesn't control us. So at the time when Allah was so angry, he said, Ya Allah, anzirni ila yawmi yubathun. Give me chance till the day of Qiyamah that I must go. And for what did he ask chance? To mislead people. لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ I will lead them astray. وَلَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Yeah, the Quran said that you won't find the people making shukr. One of the remedies while we are on our way to save ourselves from shaitan, Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum explained this, is make shukr. A person who makes shukr, shaitan won't be able to harm you. He'll come for you from your right, from your left, from the top, from the back, from every side. But though wala tajidu aktharuhum shaki, those who are not shakirin will fall prey to shaitans. They outwardly, according to our minds, there isn't relationship between getting involved in the temptation of shaitan and making shukr to Allah. But the Quran says those who make shukr, it shows in this ayat that they won't fall prey to the temptations of shaitan. In that point, ask ourselves, how much do we make shukr? Who makes shukr to the wife? Who makes shukr to Allah? When the morning we say, get up, that Ya Allah, peaceful night. Otherwise, middle of the night, I could have got a stroke, a heart attack, and I could be in the hospital now. I could be in a mortuary now. Where I could be, anywhere I could be, the night has passed, crooks could have come into the house. And they could have tormented us and put us in trauma for 3 hours, and we were going through. What and what would the crooks have done? Peacefully we get up, but who makes shukr? How many of us even remember to read the dua, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana. You gave me life again, ba'da amatana, after after I was dead, that you slept on one side, sometimes you sleep, or you say yourself, I slept like a log last night. Mm-hmm. I don't know a thing. I didn't even turn sides. And when the watch rang, I thought I just still fell asleep. What to sleep Allah gave you, but no shukr to Allah. And Allah has given you a lease of another day of life. Hey, if your landlord gave you 20 years lease, but if you Allah didn't give you that one day's lease, what are you going to do with that 20 years lease of your business? Mm-hmm. Allah gives you lease, then all the other things will work, whatever else you are doing. So, but where we make shukr? Shukr is a great, great quality. And those who make, and also many of us, we want treatment and we want solutions, and we look for sophisticated type of solutions. No, solutions of ad-deenu yusrun. Deen is easy. To earn deen and akhirat is easy. To earn dunya, wallah, I say it is so hard, so hard. How many people, now going off the subject a little bit, but whoever is doing business, people are doing business, one robbery and how far it puts you back. No. The profits that you made for how long? One accident and it puts you back so much. One of your trucks got hijacked. A woman who is doing her little bit at home, cooking food and serving people, making a small profit, 50 rand here, 20 rand there, how hard she works, and with her workers, the maid she's working, what problem she's going through, buying groceries, delivering, meeting deadlines, everything. One time one meals get flopped, or she couldn't deliver on time, and it puts her back so much. For dunya, for deen, wallah, so easy to earn. And deen doesn't only help you for your akhirah. There is a great misconception also. Deen helps us in this dunya right here now. At the time of mort, how much won't deen? Those three people in the cave. Who could help them? Which dunya? Which emergency service? Which ambulance? Which on your phone, your emergency number? What could help them? Nothing. It was deen that helped them. Ikhlas. So this qualities of shukr, for example, we don't realize how much it will help us. So anyway, so Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, he knew Allah Ta'ala so well. Our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi also says that zalim, and that what if he said anzirni ila yawm, give him chance till the day of, if he should said unzur ilayya, just have mercy on me, I made a mistake, his work should have been done. Allah is so merciful. The minute you ask for forgiveness, Allah forgives you. No matter what guna you made. And this is another thing where our nafs plays havoc with us. We don't want to admit our mistake. The starting point of a person's correction of his life is that he acknowledges, I am wrong. I am faulty. I need treatment. I need it. As long as a person thinks that, no, I'm all right, that person can't move forward. He hasn't acknowledged his mistake. Pride doesn't allow it. And that pride is such that it blinds him from his own faults. Pride is such a thing. And the illegitimate child of pride is anger. When it's an illegitimate child. And it's anger. What and what the person doesn't do in his anger. So a person who has got this pride, anger comes in that person won't admit, what his wife, he won't admit, I made him, and he himself, he is convinced I am right. Pride is blocking it, he can't see it, and you can't get a solution in that. All that will happen, aggravate the matter, make it worse all the time. You will blurt out such words, your wife will blurt out, and things are just getting worse all the time. When a person admits his faults, that is now the starting point. When a person is on the wrong road, and he's adamant, I'm on the right road, how is he going to get to the right road? Then your GPS is telling you that to make a turn as soon as possible, you ignoring the GPS also. That what the GPS, now I don't know where it's going to take me, and you're just getting on the wrong road, how are you going to come to the right place? But when you learn to listen to somebody, then inshallah you will start coming onto the right place. So anyway, this nafs is an enemy, and is an enemy of inside. If there is an enemy outside, it's bad. Very bad, you got an enemy. But if the enemy is inside, a snake is in your garden, is bad. Now it will be very, very worrying. But if the snake is in your house, and the snake is in your bed, and the snake is under your pillow, and the snake is inside you, then what about that? And this nafs and this dunya's muhabbat is like a munakkash samp. It is like beautiful snake. The temptations of this dunya are like a like beautiful snakes. Most probably all of us have gone to snake parks. We have seen different kinds of snakes. Some of them, how beautiful color they got. The design upon them, the stripes on them, the dots on them. So beautiful. And if a stupid person says, I'm going to embrace the snake and sleep with the snake at night, what will happen to that person? Even if the poison is taken out, who will say that I'm prepared to sleep with that snake? The whole, to sleep, even 1 minute to sleep with the snake. We are even frightened just to touch the snake. Yes, and also on the way, one question arises perhaps in somebody's mind, why did Allah make snakes? What is the benefit of snakes? There are a lot of benefits also. But one great benefit was, if there weren't snakes in this dunya, which just the name we hear of a snake, and it puts the, not fear, terror into us, terrorizes us, just the word or the thought of a snake. So how should we know what are snakes for the qabr? How should we know what are snakes for the in Jahannam, if there weren't snakes here? So Allah made it. This is Mufti Shafi Sahab rahmatullah alayhi has written, dunya is just the showcase of akhirah. Just gives us some glimpses of the things of akhirah. The ni'mats of dunya also should give us an idea what the ni'mats, it's not the, these ni'mats of dunya are nothing. What compared to Jannat, what ni'mats they are. No matter what ni'mats they are of this dunya, they are nothing. Just gives us, and all the adab and hardships of dunya is also nothing compared to the hardships of the qabr, of Jahannam. It is just to give us an idea. So anyway, so this nafs, the shaitan, one is the nafs, that is. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِ. He didn't speak about shaitan yet. He spoke about the nafs. And nafs ammaratu, that tells you and poisons and puts evil thoughts on in you all the time. And we have to learn to harness this nafs. Nafs is with a person until maut. At maut the two separate. The ruh carries on with its journey, and the nafs dies off and it's finished. And so the nafs is made out of the sand and water of this dunya. That is why our desire for dunya is there. And ruh comes from Allah Ta'ala. And the ruh's desire is for akhirah. Connection with Allah, fulfilling the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. So the two are there, and no person can live with only one. Only the nafs and no ruh, you're a dead person. Your ruh is gone up. And only ruh, then the body is finished. The dead, you are dead. The ruh carries on. Ruh, since the time Allah created, it was not for all, forever. Since when Allah created, now it's forever. It's not going to die. This body of ours is temporary. Allah made it in the womb of the mother, and tell you how much you're going to live, 60, 70, you will be buried. Then the body disintegrates in most cases. Of course, for Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, pious people, Allah keeps the same body, and they carry on their journey together also. So the body is going to come to an end, and the body inclines to dunya, to nice food, nice houses, cars, clothes, a wonderful way of life, enjoyment, going out, traveling, holidays, all that. Nafs enjoys all that. Ruh inclines to akhirat. Now the two are traveling to, are together, and they make this human being. So whoever is more powerful, that is how your life is. If your nafs is overpowered, you're going in dunya or in temptation. So they just think the solution, that this is temporary and this is just outward and it's fake. Hey, a person who gets happy with 10 million fake notes. How stupid is he, isn't he? A person who gets happy with 10 million kilograms of fake gold. How stupid, isn't he? So this dunya's things are all, which not we say, and not any great philosopher, not even any great Nabi, Allah has declared, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورُ. نَسِّ قَطْعِي. Allah has said that dunya is only open deception. مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورُ. Things, mata is a thing to benefit from a little while. So it's only little while, and that little while also it is غُرُور. deception, dhoka. And akhirat is wa inna dar al akhirah lahiya al hayawan. That is the eternal, everlasting, the strong, solid life is life of akhirat, where there will be no mort, where there will be no sickness, there will be no nothing coming out of the nose, no toilets in jannat. Hey, nothing, no urinating, no winds, no belches, nothing whatsoever. What a life of, that is the real life. And that is where the ruh will go to. But, so now we have to see the two of them, that who is more stronger. The one that is stronger is going to rule. Like for example, you got a BM, latest model, top of the range, everything. And if the drive, you brought it home. Your young boy, 15 years, is your favorite, the apple of your eye, and you parked it, and he just managed to get the key, and he goes off for a spin. And how many cases we hear regularly? There they go, he puts his friends in there, and in a residential area, he capsizes the car. Not on an open road where he could speed. He can't take a turn, he can't take a bend, that car has got power in it, and he's proud. So now, the car was more powerful than him. It destroyed him. And the father drives it, or that young boy, if he's sober and is responsible and he controls the car will give them service for 10 years, 20 years, as long as where and where they will travel, how nice and comfortably they can travel. So if your nafs is overpowering, it will destroy your ruh. And at the time of maut, there is a mukalama, a dialogue between the ruh and the nafs. If the nafs was subservient to the ruh gives it du'as. You helped me. You didn't distract me. And gives it du'as. And that nafs also, that body, Allah keeps it intact. And it joins again with the ruh, and they will go to Jannah. But if the ruh, the nafs was overpowering, then the ruh gives it bad du'as. And tells it, you destroyed yourself, you destroyed me also. And the same way the ruh, the nafs speaks to the ruh, there is this dialogue that takes place at the time of maut. So the important thing, if we can understand, is that we have to gain control over our nafs. Let the ruh control. Don't let the nafs control. Let the ruh control. And for that, the training of it, we need a sheikh. What we call the khanqa treatment and the khanqa system is all this, that we can get control over our nafs. The ruh controls the nafs. That is all what it is. And after, also a person can never ever be content and be happy with the condition, even if he has done treatment. Allama Abu Sayri rahmatullah alayh, in his internationally famous beautiful Qasida Burda Sharif, and Allama Abu Sayri hasn't only written Qasida Burda, he's written many other beautiful Qasidas in the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on salawat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Qasida Burda he writes, inna nafsa lamar, no, he says that a nafsu katifli. Nafs is like a baby. A milk suckling baby, a small baby that drinks on its mother. A nafsu katifli. Shabba ala hubbi rada. And if you don't take the habit of drinking milk of the child, it will become a grown up person just drinking milk all the time. And every mother knows, when the time comes that she has to wean off the child, then what a difficult thing. She loves the child, and the child loves its milk. And you stop the child from the milk, the child is crying. It doesn't want to take solids at that time. It doesn't want to eat. It just wants its milk all the time. Whether it's the mother's milk or whether it is a bottle. But it just wants its milk. And the mother has to make her heart strong and then get it off that. When she does that, النفسه كالطفل إن تفطمه no النفسه كالطفل إن تحمله شبع على حبير. If you leave it alone. When I was in Germiston, one family that was living opposite the street, a young boy, he had reached an age of 9, 10, still with the bottle. Because the mother couldn't had the courage to take him off the milk. So big, and he's still just drinking milk. So you have to make that effort, and a mother has to put stones or rocks on her heart and get the child off the milk. Now when she takes him off, then the child will now enjoy biryani, samosas, as long as just drinking milk. girl, what will it know what are samosas and what is roast and what is biryani? But when she takes him off, in the same way, in taftimhu yanfatimi. And if that mother makes that effort to take it off, so like that, our nafs also likes the things of this dunya. And it is just like that milk you're drinking when you're a child. But make that effort for a little while, just like the mother has to put rocks onto her heart and get the child off that, our temptations of dunya, of guna, which are there, we admit. But just make, and really it's not a long process, and it's not a hard process, and just get the help of Allah. And to get the help of Allah, you need the guidance of a sheikh, the shadow of a sheikh. Allah has made the system in this way. And when you get that, and you get off this habit of what nafs is telling you, then you will see, you get ruhaniyat. You'll get the roast of namaz, and you'll get the enjoyment, the biryani of dua, and then see your tahajjud, and see, and then to get involved in guna will be very difficult for you. At the moment, you can't give up guna. But the time will come, then to get involved in guna will be very difficult. And when you have done all this also, then also remember Khaja Aziz ul Hasan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali says, Bharosa na karna is nafse ammara ka. Don't trust this nafse ammara. Ye farishta bhi ho jaye. It becomes like an angel that you're getting up for tahajjud regularly, and you are making all your namazes and your ibadat, and you are just in deen all the time, and you are so perfect all the time. He becomes a farishta, forget a human, he becomes a ye farishta bhi ho jaye to usse bad gumar rehna. Always be critical and be watchful of this nafs. You don't know that one minister who trained 12 cats in such a way that he put candles on their head, and they'll stand on their hind legs, and with a candle, and like when you're walking, today we put lights in the pathway, and you walk past, so cats he made stand like this. So he asked this minister, Wazir-e-Azam, what you think of my achievement? See how I trained these cats, 12 years I trained them like this, what do you think? So he said, لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقًا. Everything has to be tested, not just on the surface, you see, we have to test it. So to test it, he brought a rat in a bag. And when the rat came, they're still in the bag. The antennas, the whiskers of the cats started moving. We smell a rat here. There's something here for us. Hey, already. And when he just opened the bag, 12 years training they forgot. And they all ran, 12 cats ran for the one rat. So this is how nafs is. So a person never trust your nafs. Even if you become like a farishta, you become the sheikh of the time, and you got thousands of murids also, and your tahajjud and everyone, Hazrat, don't be influenced by this. Some of us are so weak, just somebody prays us little. Really, I'm like that. Hey, take it as dua. Take it that they got good eyes. That's what their glasses are like that, that's why they're seeing it like that. And you know yourself, who doesn't know himself? Don't be fooled just because of little. So don't be overtaken, and don't ever be obsessed with the praises of people. And nobody is a buzurg by the praises of people. You are buzurg is what is inside you. And nobody is an evil person by the criticism of people. If you are bad inside, you are bad. Not people talking bad about you makes you bad. Or not people talking good about you makes you good. You are what you are inside. And that we are all concerned, what will the people say? The people, what will the people say in everything? That regularly, one friend actually told me that I'm regular with my zohar. Sometimes I make it without zohar. Now what is that namaz? I make it without wuzu. What is that namaz? Just to show the people that I never miss my zohar. I'm always there for my zohar. Other namazes also. But he says I make without wuzu when I'm late. I haven't got time. Now what namaz is that? Now to show the people, what is it? So you are what you are inside. So by Allah, let us understand, we got nafs and shaitan, and it's what every person, Allah has put them. And they are there. If we know we got an enemy, how conscious don't we become? If we just got a thought that we got an enemy, How disturbed and worried don't we become? Yeah, declaration of Allah. 100% inna shaitan lakum aduvum mubeen. Shaitan, he doesn't hide his enmity also. Openly he's your enemy. And nafs is inside and he's your enemy. But we don't today think for ourselves. Juma, one day has passed that I think of these two enemies of mine. If you had the thought that somebody wants to make jadu on you, somebody wants to rob you with your money, somebody wants to rob you, somebody told you on this road there were speed traps, but I think they're gone now. But still you'll take your precaution. Hey, you just to pay a fine of that, but you'll take your for this worst enemies and declared by Allah as our enemies and who are out to rob our iman eventually and to rob us of our jannah. And no worry. This is the consciousness that we must build, and the solutions are there. And if a person does this, no matter what temptations, where you are, nothing can harm you. May Allah let us understand these realities and respond towards the call of Allah Ta'ala and correct ourselves. And for that, inshallah,
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inshallah, as it is mentioned, Alhamdulillah, our Hazrat has many programs regarding for Islah, these matters. And even more beneficial is when a person travels with a sheikh, we get much more benefit. So inshallah, regarding this, tomorrow night after the Maghrib Salah, Laylatul Ahad will be our monthly Ash'ar program in Darul Ulum Azadwal. And on Yomul Ahad also on Sunday morning from 10 o'clock till Zohar Salah. I will request for all the brothers to come and to bring as many other brothers as possible. Then inshallah, from the 12th of Jamaad al-Ukhra to the 16th of Jamaad al-Ukhra, that is the 1st of April to the 5th of April, it's a long weekend, Hazrat will be traveling to Eastern Cape. So whichever brothers want to join with their families also, inshallah they can try to make the arrangements and please try and inform us as quickly as possible. Hazrat will be traveling from the 1st of April to the 5th of April to the Eastern Cape. Then there will be a safar to the south coast on the 26th of Jamaad al-Ukhra to the 29th of Jamaad al-Ukhra, 15th of April to the 18th of April. To the south coast, and then Hazrat will be traveling to Namibia and Zimbabwe on the 10th of Rajab to the 21st of Rajab, that is in April, the end of April, the 29th of April to the 10th of May. And then inshallah we will be having an Islahi Jalsa in Port Shepstone, in Natal, Port Shepstone south coast, on the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of Shaban, which corresponds to the 21st, 22nd and 23rd of May. So I would request for all the brothers, inshallah, to participate in these programs, try and join. We have the ability to try to make safar with Hazrat. If worse comes to worse, every also Tuesday night we have our majlis at the Darul Uloom in Azadwal. We should try to participate. Inshallah, from now it will be after the Isha Salah. So we should try to come. It's enough time for us to come, inshallah. And the weekend program also we have every month. Those brothers want to come and spend the night on Saturday night, they come in the afternoon, they have a program after Asr, after Maghrib, after Fajr the next morning, and 10 o'clock till Zuhr Salah, you should try to participate. Allah give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillah.
We should take lesson from, mashallah, Brother Muhammad Nurgat here, every month from Durban. He's also got business, everything, but he comes, he spends a full 3 days. We should take lesson, inshallah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.